with me here, Rev. Fight.
Morning. Morning. Welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's on way. And we are excited that we have another day of grace and excited that we see you here. And we also want to acknowledge the people that's been listening to us on the internet and our webpage. If you want to come and join us, we're here at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. And we come and talk and fellowship a little bit, and we even laugh and carry on a little bit, don't we, guys? Mm-hmm. We don't play Ring Around Rosie or anything like that, but we do talk about some things pertaining to our life in Christ and the prayer requests and praise items. And if you have anything that you want to share with us, you can email us, text us, and we would share it with the group here. If you have your red book, we're going to sing page number 40. Great is thy faithfulness. Number 40. Great is thy faithfulness.
How many verses?
1 and 3. The choir didn't show up this week. Himself. Genesis chapter 1, lesson 6 of the study of Genesis, and we left off the last lesson talking about Jesus Christ, and Genesis chapter 1, but Ephesians chapter 6 and Job chapter 41 and Isaiah 27 and Revelation chapter
You've got
enough, but do get it. Ephesians chapter 6. We got a verse we're going to look in at that. And then Job chapter 41. We talked about last lesson where Jesus Christ, when he created the heaven and earth in Genesis chapter 1, He created the positions of rank and authority all through the heaven as well in the earth. That's why you should look at the government structure out there. God ordained human government. God ordained a human structure to protect four institutions, the three institutions, four total, counting that one, free will, a marriage between a man and a woman, a family, and human government is to protect that. And he ordained government rank and authorities. And if you look down through all the history that you know about the world government, they all had rank and authorities in the earth. And so also Paul uses the same terms to describe the government authorities on earth as he does describe them in heaven. And then Paul says that sees that on the earth, principality and powers. Now Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, is very, very clear. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's hard not to do sometimes, you know that? But what does it say? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses, where?
In high places.
And if you know, the government of the universe was usurped. Be turning to Isaiah chapter 41.
What was the Ephesians?
6:12.
6:12, sorry.
You know, Brother Howard came in this morning. He had a handful of notebooks. And I see people using them. That's great. You take down the notes and you can use them for yourself later, right? But I said Job, right?
Isaiah 41.
Go to Job chapter 41. Sorry. Job 41. Get started here. We will be going to Isaiah 27 too. But the government of the universe was usurped in a rebellion by Satan, and he has taken over that universal government up there. That's high places. There's principalities and powers up there in the high places. Those positions of rank authorities out in the universe are now populated by and under the control and authority of who? Now you would think, without understanding, this is why it's very, very important that we're going to study the Genesis in that view of what's going on out there. And when you see, we have a lot of people say, well, God is in control out there. God's in control of everything. God does, you know, whatever God wants to do, does. But there also is the God of this world. Right? Mm-hmm. And the prince of power of the air, that's Satan up there. And he controls some things that he usurped. Christ created the heaven and earth and created stations of government authorities all throughout the heavens. And he populated those positions with different races of angels to carry on his business out throughout the universe. That was his goal. That was his command center. That's what he was doing out there before he put man on this earth. Then guess what happened?
Sin.
So we know Satan fallen, he usurped authority, and those governments up there is under his jurisdiction right now. And if you think about the world system out here and the world governments out there, there's some countries out there that has some ruthless so-called dictators, right? Mm-hmm. And you've been brought up ever since you were born, bringing up, and there's certain countries out there are evil. Well, hate to spoil your pudding, but the thing is, that's happened here too. You know, in this country, you know, we say God bless America. How's God blessed America? When you see things going on out there that's just like ungodly, that type of thing. So you really got to think about what's going on out there and who's usurping authority. And by the way, that seven-headed dragon is who?
Satan.
Go to Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41. And get Isaiah 27. This stuff is real. This ain't made up. This ain't Hollywood. This ain't Disney Prime and Paramount Plus and all that stuff. This is real stuff that's going on. And Job chapter 41, verse 1, says, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Can thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? What's he talking about catching there? A sea monster.
Yeah.
He's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Leviathan, there are various names called a whale, a whirlpool, all kinds of things, because nobody knows what he is. But what he is just a terrible sea monster. And the last verse of the chapter says, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Now, who is that?
Satan.
You know who it is. That's what made Lucifer fall?
Pride.
You know that, don't you? Pride becomes before the what?
Fall.
He lifted it as with pride. He saw his beauty. He saw what he's doing. He had pipes in his. He led orchestra. He led the worship service, and he wanted. He said, "I'm going to be like God." He was a fifth cherub, and the fifth cherub was above God, directing this stuff. He was a light barrier. And it's a picture of Satan. And go to Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, where Leviathan is identified. And compare verse to verse. You keep looking for verses, don't you guys? And eventually you'll find who it is, and Leviathan is Satan. Isaiah 27, verse 1. In the day of the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish who?
Leviathan.
The piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in where?
The sea.
The sea. Now, who is that crook? Who's the crooked serpent in the Bible?
Satan.
You know it is Satan. And he shall slay the dragon that is in where?
Sea.
The sea. Now, he's not talking about this sea out here in the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. How many seas are there, guys, according to the world?
Seven
seas. You going to sell be Popeye and sell the seven seas? You know, that would be a very adventurous. But to me, it'd be also scary. You out there on that dark ocean, those seas sailing, and you know, people fall off all the time and be buried out there and that type of thing. I think there's some dark creatures out there, even in the seas of this world. You know, I can't keep from thinking about a whale or a dolphin. They seem to be friendly, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, friendly. What about a shark? How about an electric eel? They're evil. So even in the world out there under the seas, to me, they're still good and evil. You know what I mean? That type of thing. But let's move on. And he says he's to slay that dragon. You know what? Revelation chapter 12, where he's at, don't you? He's the old what? Red dragon. And he is out there in the deep above the second heaven. That's what we're talking about. We talked about the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Now, what we got here in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Then the earth was without what? Form and void. Darkness was up on the face of the deep. Darkness is a title that describes the condition of the container that it's in. It's dark. Whether you agree or disagree, the container of the universe is like a rectangle. Okay, it's not round. It's not a fishbowl. Okay, and it is a term that Paul uses when he talks about being delivered from the power of darkness. And he's not talking about the physical darkness. He's talking about the authority system that is involved there in that darkness. Who's controlling that darkness out there right now?
Satan
is. He's the prince of power of the air. The physical darkness is a physical manifestation of the spiritual reality. Angels are associated with stars in the Bible because they require light to function. And the book of Jude talks about them being held in chains of what?
Darkness.
And the chain that binds them is darkness. I think about one of the plagues that in Egypt. That darkness was, what is it called? Gross darkness. It was so thick it couldn't get through it. That would contain you to stay there, wouldn't it? Now, some of you might be able, when you go to bed, you don't throw your clothes on the floor and shoes because you now have to get up and go to the bathroom and you don't trip and fall and you've got a little path that you know you're going to the bathroom, you don't need no light on, okay? I get up and I'm doing this, you know, filling the post and all that stuff, walk in there, I flip the light on. Well, when you flip the light on, you can see everything. But when you flip the light out, what does it do? Sometimes it's like, whoa, where did I can't see. So anyway, light, you need light and darkness, but this is gross darkness. Darkness binds them so they cannot function. Darkness. If you're in dark places, I don't care if you fell asleep right now, where you're sitting, totally went to sleep dark, and it was pitch black in here, you got up, you think you know where those doors are. But it might contain you like, oh, I'm not moving. I'm not going nowhere. Until somebody grabs me by the hand or speaks to me and say, hey, over here, that type of thing. If they did not have light to see, they cannot operate. And my wife can get up in the middle of the night and not even need a light. She might have eyes like a cat or something, I don't know. I got eyes like a blind bat, you know, flying backwards. But anyway, so darkness is upon the face of the deep. The deep is a container which the universe is held and is shaped like the tabernacle. Now, how many got the, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. The tabernacle, you find that in Hebrews 8, 9, okay? Then God says, let there be light. He begins to move and to rework this thing. He says, let there be light. He creates a third heaven, the sea of glass, his throne room. Then he says, let's divide the water. Let's establish the firmament. And he puts the universe down there. And he opens up this expanse in which the earth is located. And from that indication, the earth was already there. That's why I've mentioned this before. And something was going on. Then it flooded. And then it come back. And it's there. And, you know, whether you believe the pyramids was, you know, millions of years old or 10,000 years old, there's something was there. What he did was he opened up the territory where the earth appeared and where the earth could be free of and had a cover on it. That's what the earth was out there. Then he goes down to earth and he begins to create there. To me, here's the thing, okay? God created the heaven and earth. And all the authorities and stuff like that. Satan blew a fuse. He corrupted it. So he had to flood it. Then he separated. The earth was still there when he, that type of thing. So what did he do? He leaves his focus in the heavens, God does, and comes to work, earth. And he goes down to earth and he begins to create. So you have the firmament, the second heaven, and he puts the suns and the stars and the universe there, the water above, water below, the universe in between, above the deep of the top of the third heaven. When Jesus Christ came, he came down through the third heaven, down through the firmament. And you know there's territories up there in the second heaven. The territorial divisions. How do you know that?
From when Daniel prayed and the angel came down, he had to get Michael the Archangel to get him through.
That's right. Amen. In Daniel chapter 10, it took Gabriel 21 days to get from the third heaven to earth where Daniel was. 21 days. And Daniel was there and he gives the answer to his prayer because one of the princesses, one of the rulers out there in the universe had stopped him. Think about that for a second. They had a roadmap. They know how to get down there, but what they did, they had to go through some territories. They had to go through some checkpoints. They had to go through some border crossings. And one stopped him. You been overseas? Has anybody been overseas? Okay. Did you just walk from country to country?
No.
You got checkpoints. And they checked you out. Okay. I remember in Germany back in the 80s, it was going to Berlin. There's only three ways to get to Berlin. North Corridor, Middle Corridor, South Corridor. And that's how you flew into Berlin. The wall was up. Okay? You did not stray over there, because if you did, you was caught by the Reds. Red Army. Okay? And the red tape held them up. And finally, Michael, the archangel, came with the word of the Lord, rebuked the guy, and got him through. If you didn't have papers and authorities, they wouldn't let you through. You think about that universe up there, and then you think about, well, that's why boundaries are very, very important for countries. Without boundaries, you're not a country. You're not a nation. And now I don't know too many places that's just wide open. Okay? But the thing is, it happens here. And we use the term to describe what happened here to describe what happened there. You just didn't get on a plane without papers. You just didn't walk past Checkpoint Charlie and go into East Germany without the right paperwork, or they wouldn't let you through. So when Michael had to come down and say, hey, let him through, and he came down. Christ says, I am the door. Does he not? Mm-hmm. And he comes down, and he goes through the third heaven, and when he comes down to be with his disciples, he says, I will make you fishers of men. You ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. And where are fish at?
In the sea.
And fish is in the water. Fish is underwater. Fish, he likens men to fish. You know, that type of thing. Now, there's two people in your Bible that says, follow me. This is one example. Lord Jesus Christ looked at 12, said, drop your nets and follow me. And Paul says, be ye followers of me as I follow who?
Christ.
So there's two people there, and it says follow, and there's people out there are rebuking and blind and not following their proper apostle of grace in the dispensation of grace, and they're out there blinded, struggling. Think about the reason going through all this such details, because it is important for you to understand the scripture model here. Because the further we're going to go through this study, you will see how important the heavens are. Now, we know from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, the focus is on this earth. It's not in the heavens. They pray the heaven come for the heavens come to earth. So it's very, very important that we know some things that's going on up there, and how important, and comprehend them the same way the Bible comprehends them. When he talks about the heavens, you need to know about the governmental structure and authority there. Exodus 15 and Revelation 19. Revelation 19. You know, some, and I will call them brothers and sisters, brethren, that are saved, has no knowledge of what we're talking about. And if they ever comprehend what we're talking about, it will, I don't want to say blow their mind, but it'll make them think, whoa, what a God that created these things had this in mind, and he had a plan all along. You know what I mean? God's always got a plan. Where did I say to go? Revelation 19.
Yeah.
Verse 20. This is about the second coming of Christ. And the beast was taken, and with him with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which... with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with what?
Brimstone.
The beast and the rider on the horse of Revelation 6 comes, and Christ destroys them. And he casts them into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Exodus chapter 15. What's the book of Exodus about?
Exodus.
To what?
God's land.
Going, coming out of bondage, coming out of the corruptness there, coming out of slavery, coming out of all that stuff, and they're coming out. And Exodus chapter 15, verse 21. Miriam is singing to the Lord about the deliverance of Israel from Pharaoh when they went across the Red Sea. Pharaoh is a type of who? Or what we call the Antichrist. And Miriam answers them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider," that's Revelation 6, the Antichrist, "hath he thrown into the what?
Sea.
He takes the horse and his riders and throws them in the sea, the deep that is below the firmament." The indication that the lake of fire is down there in the bottom of the deep below the second heaven. Now, I mentioned to you before in time and passing about H2O. Okay? H2O is it one part hydrogen, two parts oxygen? Is that how it is?
Mm-hmm.
Or two parts hydrogen?
H2O. Yeah.
One oxygen, two hydrogen.
Yeah.
One, okay. And if you take oxygen away from there, you have what?
Hydrogen.
You know, that's a very explosive situation. They make hydrogen bombs that's just terrifying. Devastates you. What was the Hindenburg powered by?
Helium.
In Stark County, they run buses.
Okay, that's H2O buses. They take away the oxygen and they fill the tanks with hydrogen, and they run. And there's going to be a blown out one of these days down there, this lake of fire, out there in the bottom of the firmament in the deep. And when he draws that oxygen away from them, they can't live no more, and they're gonna burn. See now. This is what you call a theory of fact. You don't have to believe this, okay? But when I think about when he flooded the universe, and I think about Satan coming down and leaving and corrupting those one-third of those angelic beings out there, and God flooded that, the whole universe, gross darkness, in the deep water, okay? That changed them. They had to take on a new...
physical form.
Yeah. So that's why he's called a serpent. That's why he's called the beast. That's why he's called Leviathan. That's why he's called just ugliness. And that gross darkness. You've seen movies. You've seen things. You probably had nightmares in time past of thinking about things in the dark, red eyes and all that stuff. It's horrifying. But he took on that form and survived in that. Okay? And then when he's separated, he's still surviving up there. And the ones that's in deep chains, that's been bonded forever, they're down in that deep water too, and darkness can't move. So when he flooded that, and then he came to this earth, and he flooded the earth, right? Genesis 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The whole earth was flooded. Did it bother them? What happened when after the flood? Everybody was cleansed. Everybody was baptized. Everybody had a new life. And they started a new life, and they was doing this and doing that. And they was glorifying God. No. Sin came back.
Mm-hmm.
The corruptness came back. Guess what else came back? The giants. The angelic people came down and saw the daughters of men, and they created giants again. You know? So that water didn't affect them. So what else did God say that he wouldn't do ever again?
Flood the universe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he did it twice. But there's going to be a fire out here. He comes down here with fire and destruction. Did he not, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, I indeed baptize you with water, John the Baptist said. But he that comes after me will baptize you with
fire.
Fire.
And the Holy Ghost.
When they get baptized fire over here, it's not going to be good. Then, what happens to the olive at the end?
Cast.
So it seems, what I'm trying to get at, get you to think about it, he's flooded the earth twice, or the universe, or he's going to burn it twice. The last one's going to take care of them up there, and they're going to burn forever. Listen, these people think they're hell's a glorious day. You know, I'm going to split hell wide open. You know? And we used to tell people tell you, they used to tell you to go to hell, that type of thing. My remark sometimes as a kid was, well, part your hair, I'll drive down a dirt road. You know, that type of thing. Just making fun of just that. But it ain't funny. It's a real place. And when I mentioned that about evidently the lake of fire down in below is going to be burning. Now, where is hell at?
In the middle of the earth.
It's in the center of the earth. And the indication that the lake of fire is down below the deep, that is below the earth. See, it's not that you're going to die and go to hell in the center of the earth. That deep, the lake of fire, is out below there, out in the universe. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. A few more things. Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the water. Listen, there's things out there that people make images of. There's things out there that's ungodly images. And God, through Moses, didn't want Israel to do that. You think he would want us to do that today? Mm-hmm. We talked about we're not under law, we're under grace, you know, and the law don't mean nothing to me. But you think about those graven images, and you think about what he just said when he told Israel, what did it do to his child, throughout Deuteronomy to when Lord Jesus Christ showed up? Corrupt them. He told him when you go into that town, you destroy everything, pictures, everything on every high mountain, every green hill, under every green tree, you destroyed every bit of it. Because there's pictures there, images, graven images, that will corrupt them. And it will corrupt you and I. And it has corrupted us. Mm-hmm. I share this with love, but the fact that when I was a child, a young child, going in to my uncle's place, and they had magazines in the corner, and they wasn't Popular Mechanic magazines, and that image is still burnt my eyeballs. Yeah. And it's sad, because that's the photograph, photo lenses into your mind. That's why a lot of people want to see it to believe it. It takes more to stand by faith, not seeing something, than it does to see it, because who requires a sign?
Israel
always required a sign. We walk by faith, not by sight. And I tell you, when you see things going on, it may shake your head like, whoa, maybe God is in this. Compare it with scripture verses, guys. Mm-hmm. Compare it with scripture verses. There are some images in that water below the second heaven. The indication is that where the angels are held, that kept their first, not their first estate, but were cast down and held in chains of darkness. That an indication that it might be down there in the deep below the firmament, and they're waiting to go into the lake of fire. They're bound to that. They're not going to get out. Mm-mm. You imagine how bad they are. To be they left their first estate and been chained there ever since.
Is there different levels of hell? I mean, based on your performance, I mean, your disobedience or something?
Well,
like that?
I've heard people say that, and it kind of makes sense. That you know, if I was a murderous, you know, guy that just hated and just, I may burn in hell more than you broke a commandment or something. You know what I mean? They're different degrees of punishment.
But that's not in scripture, though, is it?
No, but if you know if there's different principalities and powers and there, but what I'd say once it's out here.
You're burning.
Like a worm. You're going to be a maggot. So you're going to burn.
And it wasn't prepared for man.
No.
It was not.
No. Yeah. The hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, and it's enlarged. Angels. And the thing that you need to understand, and further we go, the more you're going to see, what you read in Genesis 1 will fit like a glove when Paul talks about the heavenly places. And that's going to be a focus a little bit, so you'll have a roundabout when we talk about the mystery and what God's doing with the heavenly places. When you talk to people today and you tell them, hey, you're a member of the body of Christ, praise God, hallelujah, do you know this world ain't your world? You know this kingdom, you're not going to be sitting in this kingdom. Half the time they go, what? I'm preparing a kingdom for Jesus Christ. They don't even think about the heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. They don't think about the heaven. They don't think about what God is doing, his government structures throughout the universe. Now, many of you got a text from me last night, and it showed you a diagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? And I'm going to finish up with this lesson here with that, about the true tabernacle in heavens and the material in the universe. Now, when we talked about the tabernacle being a sign of like with Moses, right? We talked about the third heaven, the second heaven, and the first heaven. And what's in the third heaven that we talked about so far?
The throne of God.
The throne of God. There's light. It's a third light day, third heaven, throne of God. If you look over at the Holy of Holies, the first thing they go to is the presence of God. That's the Holy of Holies. Then you got the veil. That's the door, the passageway, the face of the deep, the frozen, the sea of glass, Revelation 4. And in that deep water, that firmament that he's there, who's in there? What did we just read a few minutes ago?
The crooked serpent.
The crooked serpent, Leviathan, Satan. He's out there, crooked. That's also the veil. You can't see through where the Holy of Holies at. Then you got the second, the firmament, second heaven, where the starry heavens are at. The stars, the solar system, the earth, the atmosphere around the earth. It's the first heaven, the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, the universe. That's out there where you can see. I want to share this with you right quick. We was down for New Year's at our daughter's house, and we're coming back across 64. Now, I asked my wife, I said, you up for a venture? She said, yeah, sure. Now, she had just started a book. She's like reading a book. And she said, yeah, and she put the book down. I said, now it's going to be a few, you know, it's going to take us a little while to get there. But if you come across 64 and out of Virginia into West Virginia, many of you heard of Greenbrier?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a resort, Greenbrier, and it was designed to if anything happened to the President of the United States, that's where they would bring him, whether underground, you believe it or not, but he would end up there in protection in a cave, surrounded by government officials and conducting the government. Now, they just disclosed that several years ago, and you can actually go there and see the bunkers and all that stuff. Well, you go past there, you take off to your right, and I said, we're going to Greenbank. And it's 70 miles up to West Virginia, and it's 92 and 2:20 over here, 2:19, and it's about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours from here. You can make it there. Green Bank, when I first went down through there, we trucked down through there. It's an observatory. It's an observatory, but it's been there since the 50s. When I first seen it, I'm trucking down through there, I'm looking, I seen this big radio antenna. I mean, huge, out in the middle of these mountains. I'm like, what in the world? And I'm looking, I started investigating on it. And so I told Sherry, I would come back to her, and they have no electronics at all. And they call it a 10-mile radius, but once you start up in there, you ain't got no cell service for nothing. They don't have cell phones. They don't even have a microwave. They don't have a garage door opens. And if they did, there's a guy in a van goes around there and says, okay, we're coming in, investigating what you got there. And that type of thing. And what it is, they look in outer space.
Listen.
And listening. And they set stuff out, and it's sometimes it takes 16 years to come back. And that's where they supposedly found the black hole. And so we went in there. You can't even have a spark plug, only diesels. Mm-hmm. Spark plugs will send off a spark or
interference.
No interference at all. So they create. So we're riding around in a diesel bus. Probably about 15 or 20 satellites that have been there since the 50s, 60s, and they still use some of them. But this one giant big one, I think it's a football field, big. That's how big its dome is, and it rotates. Every second it's doing this and it's doing this, but you can't see it because it's so small. Mm-hmm. Well, make a long story short, they've built these new, looks like a hog trough, and they got them in Canada, across the United States, and in overseas, and they're communicating with each other. And I'm listening to these people, and there's people there that they go there to live, to get away from the grid. You know people that don't have interference when cell phones and microwave, they go there to live. Also some weird groups down there too that goes there and hides. But anyway, because you can't make no phone calls. And they go to the post office and these stores and make notes, say, Howard, I'd like to see you by 2:00 today if you can. And Howard go there, oh, Ed wants to see me. That's how they communicate, old fashioned way. But make a long, what I'm trying to get at is, they're trying to talk and communicate with the universe out there, okay? And who's out there?
All the angels.
You know, my wife asked me, do I believe in aliens? I said, I believe in fallen angels. And she said, well, that's not an alien. I'm like, well, it could be. I mean, if you look at something like that and they come to this earth, that type of thing. But they're wanting to listen. And they're communicating with outer space. Okay? And that's out there in that universe, out there in the starry heavens and that stuff. Well, you look over here in the tabernacle. I hope you all understand what I'm trying to say. There's actually places like that you can go visit and see that they're trying to communicate with outer space. Okay, and this is fascinating. They got I asked her. I said, "So, with Space Force on, do you communicate Space Force?" She said, "We have a major here right now, and they got a school. They take 66 students that you can go there and study, and live in a dormitory, that type of thing. And so it's huge, and they fund themselves basically, you know, that type of thing." I think the town is about 180 people, and I think everyone who works there.
125 people work
there. So
is it a federally owned?
60% federal funding.
Funded.
40%.
So you know, they look for people. I said, so you want to write a check? You know, I said, that's aggravating.
So you're on a tour bus, and somebody's explaining
this
to you?
Yes, and she's from England, and she's been there 10 years, and so she knows, she's very knowledgeable. And we're going out. And there's this
marker. Looks like a grave.
It looked like a grave marker. Sure it did. It stood about this tall, and it sort of looked like a Washington Monument, and it had a fence around it. Now you can walk in there.
Wow.
You can park your vehicle, and you can go through that gate, that says no entries, but your cell phone's gonna be completely shut off. I was ready to take pictures, to be honest with you.
Did you hand out free Bibles?
No. But anyway, if they could read my mind, so I'm sitting there, I'm telling Sherry, I said, I feel this. Whenever I'm around radio stuff, I can feel, I don't feel that good. But that, I thought it was a gravestone. And I said, hey, what's this right here on the way out? She said, it's a, and she wanted to say it's a
survey marker.
But it was that high, and I'm pulling up survey markers on Green Bank, and nobody can find anything. So I'm going to call them and ask them if we can get a picture of it. But you can walk it. You have walking areas. But the thing is, no electronics. So you can't take pictures, but they had all the maps and stuff like that. Communicating with that. You know, if many of you like astrology and stuff, that's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can look out there.
Astronomy,
thank you. Astrology is just...
astrology, that's anyway, a lot.
Yeah. Well, even the God of Creator did the right astronomy. Mm-hmm. He did the right one. Satan corrupted that. Mm-hmm. But the holy place, showbread, the word of God, the lamp, light is right there in that firmament. Then below that, you had darkness, water, angels held in chains, Jude. You go over here to tabernacle, laven for washing. And then below that, you had the lake of fire. You had the blazing offer, the tabernacle of Moses entry. So you, that picture that I showed you, and I'll post it on our website and our Facebook page of what we're looking at, is the fact that it's just laid out as a tabernacle, the universe. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the picture of the earth is supposed to be a mirror image of what's in heaven. Yeah. And when it created, it was. But who corrupted it? The God of this world, mm-hmm. and then Satan, when Eve was deceived, and Adam made a choice, he gave that deed to this earth to Satan, and he becomes the God of this world, and it's been corrupt ever since Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over, and it's still corrupt, guys. This earth is still corrupt. The governments are run by the God of this world. Okay, and the only thing we can do in this nasty now is one, to renew our mind with what the Word of God says about this world, that our conversation is not this world, but we're
heavenly presence.
And we know there's people lost and dying going to hell. And not only will they go to hell, they'll be cast in the lake of fire and burned forever where the worm doth not. And I've been told that, you know, growing up in a Baptist, and some of you been probably do that type of thing, that lake of fire kind of scared you, didn't it? You know, nobody preaches about fire and brimstone no more. It's all about love and Christmas trees and, you know, singing. Yeah, you know, it's like God is love, and he's not going to send you to hell. Mm-hmm. God don't do that. How can he send a little baby to hell? He don't send nobody to hell.
Amen.
You make a conscious choice in your heart and soul that you reject God's glorious gospel, that he shined the lights that blinded. That glorious gospel is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The light of this glory. That's that darkness Paul talks about. Even Paul connects it back there in the deep. That the light has shined, that light, that glorious gospel of his words coming in that dark hole of yours. And then when I was told about Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, 13, then time passed, I was without God, with the strangers from the covenants of promise, aliens from the covenants of God, strangers without God and without hope. That's darkness. And there's people out there, loved ones that you know, are living in darkness right now. And we have a light of this Word of God that comes off this page into the eyeballs. I was talking about the early eyeballs. You see it in a page. They hear it. It gets down in that soul, that dark soul. God illuminates it. You believe it. He connects that spirit and soul together. Now you have life. life more abundantly than anything this world has to offer. That's serious stuff, man. And we should be on the, we should be thinking about that very, very hard this year, this day, this hour. Because there are people out there, when you leave here, the parking lots are full, not only in the religious world, but in the physical world, and that's their church. And we just need to be faithful, you know, to who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And just don't be ashamed to share the gospel of grace of God. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about this message of what we're studying in Genesis and how you laid it out in the tabernacle and in the universe and how it's there for us to see and understand. And then when we get to understand Paul's mystery gospel that you give to Paul, the dispensation of grace of God, and what you made a connection with the heavenly purpose, only you could do this. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we also want to thank you for tuning in once again to our website. And until next week, may God bless you.